Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Bonnie Kay, and welcome to a special edition of the Straight Wives Talk Show. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexity of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my guests and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. If you have any comments you would like to make during this broadcast, you can either call them in at area code 646-716-4893, or you can email me if you're feeling a little radio shy at bonkay@aol.com. That's bonkaye@aol.com. And before I introduce my special guest for tonight's special show, I just want to mention to women, first of all, I know it's a tough time of the year. It's the holiday season. I have lots of support available for you. If you're running into a jam and you're feeling it, well, you know, at odd sorts, just write to me at bonkay@aol.com, and I will definitely be happy to hook you up with support through either a pain pal or a support network. Don't feel like you have to go through the holiday season alone. I also want to mention to you that we're all set up now for our April Healing Weekend. It's going to be in Dulles, Virginia, right outside of Washington, D.C. So if you're interested in joining me and some wonderful, wonderful women and speakers who will really help on the road to healing, just let me know by writing to me at bonkay@aol.com and put in the headline Healing Weekend. This is the beginning of letting you know that starting in January, our Straight Wives Talk Show will be returning to Sunday nights. I know I've tried the Monday nights for the last 6 months, and I really don't like them. So we're going to go back to Sunday night, and the new time will be at 9 o'clock instead of 10 o'clock, but I'll be reminding you of that also in our newsletter coming up. And the reason I'm having a special show tonight, because this wonderful young lady, Tara, who was so kind to be on our show a few weeks ago, was supposed to come back a couple of weeks ago, and I had really terrible technical difficulties, and I wanted to get her back on the show, mainly because the book that she has out, Looking for Mr. Straight, is such an incredible book, and we never really had time to finish discussing so many of the fine points. And before I introduce Tara, I would like to say that when you hear this show, you're hearing it from my perspective as someone who went through this so many years ago, you know, and I'm an older woman now, like almost a senior citizen. And it's so refreshing to hear from a younger woman like Tara who has this book. I really learned so much from her book. It's very entertaining, but it's also very educational because Tara not only tells a story, but she also gives you so many helpful hints and perspectives that I wish I would have known when I was younger. And looking back at so many things that I've learned from this book, I know it'll be so helpful for you. And Looking for Mr. Straight, which is available, you know, through Amazon and other kind of book outlets that we'll talk about with Tara. But that's why this is really the Christmas present you need to buy for yourself, the book Looking for Mr. Straight. So without further ado, hi, Tara, and welcome back.
Hi, Bonnie. Thanks for having me.
Yes, I really appreciate your coming back because we were talking about your book last time when our time ended. Mm-hmm. And there were so many other issues that came up in this book that I felt it was so important for our women to understand and to know about. You know, it's interesting that some of the women who are part of our support network have been involved with more than one gay man, even after a long-term gay marriage. They go out to the field of dating and they make that same mistake again, sometimes even again, because they're not looking for the right things. You know, I guess because you're injured in one relationship, when you go out there and you're trying to spread your wings again to meet someone, you're really avoiding the same pitfalls that you made the first time and finding these nice guys who are, you know, when you're really vulnerable, I know they're looking for you and they're looking for someone who's kind and understanding and vulnerable. And it's easy to hook up because a lot of times you just can't tell. And I know that people have told me that how could you not know that your husband was gay? I mean, what would you think that he wasn't gay? And I always say to them, why would I think he was gay? Because I wasn't brought up to understand that gay meant, I thought that when you're gay, you want to go with somebody who's gay. Why would I think a gay man would want to marry me? And that's how we used to feel back then. How about today? Mm-hmm. You have a pulse on the younger generation. Do they still think like that?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, even though there are a lot of women who I've come into contact with who have said, oh, yeah, this is definitely an issue, there are so many more women who are continuing to get involved with men who are closeted or marrying these men because, you know, if a guy is willing to do that and be with them, they're not thinking that he's gay, you know, if he's coming to, you know, to marry me and he wants to visit me and establish a relationship. And there are kind of little red flags and things that happen. You know, it's interesting you had said that regarding a lot of times someone, let's say, might be married to someone and who is gay, and then they end up, you know, knowing that and going back out there, and then they do it again. And I think the reason that might happen is they're not in tune to certain signals or certain things to be aware of. So that's why it's kind of an ongoing, you know, chain of events where it probably is going to keep repeating itself if they don't have the insights or the knowledge or the kind of, you know, signs to look out for.
And I really do believe there is a prototype that a gay man is looking for when he's looking for a partner or a wife. And, you know, first of all, I'm not saying that this is an intentionally hurtful kind of thing they're doing, because I think those gay men who do get married, in almost all cases, not all, but in almost all cases, they just don't want to be gay. It's not like they're saying, I'm going to trick her, and then I'm going to make her life miserable, right?
Right. Yeah. No, I mean, that's my feeling, and that's why it is such a challenging situation, because, I don't think that these guys are out there to, you know, trick women. I think it's more of just that they're struggling, whether they have come to terms with it in their mind, and they know that they're gay, and kind of just push it down, and therefore, well, okay, I'm not going to come out, and therefore, in order to kind of maintain this facade, I'm going to find a woman and be in a relationship with her and get married and have kids. And so it's kind of part of that, you know, the life that they want to lead. And some of them even think, well, if I just kind of push down those thoughts and feelings, it might go away. And so, you know, they end up, you know, with these women. And I think some of the prototype in terms of the women, you know, thinking about this, and that it's definitely women who might not, you know, bring it up to them. If there is something weird or strange that might happen, they would kind of maybe think it, but they wouldn't bring it up to the guy. Or if, let's say, there was an issue sexually in the bedroom, like let's say he doesn't want to have sex as often, she might kind of, maybe there's some insecurities on her end, and she's kind of like, oh, well, I'm not going to initiate. So there are certain things that allow this behavior to propel and keep going on. And so if it's someone that's not going to be openly communicating or kind of bring up, that she's kind of like, you know, that's a little weird or that's a little strange. And maybe she thinks it, but maybe, you know, maybe she hasn't had as much experience or kind of
right.
Well,
and I think that's really what counts against you, because I know that when I was getting married to my gay ex-husband, of course, we had sexual relationships prior to the marriage. And, you know, back in the 70s when things were pretty open back then. And, you know, I'd been married before and I'd had a lot of sexual experience. You know, I'm not bragging about it, it's just the reality of what my life was. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I knew what a sexual relationship was like. And we didn't have the best experiences, and I was never really good at asserting myself, you know, when I was in my 20s about sex. I mean, I think a lot of women find it really hard to bring it up, you know, that they're going to feel like if they're complaining or they're asking for too much. Now, I think when a man is straight, of course, he wants to know what else he can do to please you. And I don't know if that's an indicator, you know, that that should be like some kind of a red flag. But like when some guy's just doing what he wants to, he's not pleasing you. When I finally did have the courage to bring it up to him, you know, the first thing he snapped at me, well, nobody else has ever complained before. You know, so right away you're being shut down, you know, and made to feel, well, maybe there is something wrong. But as it continued and I saw, you know, it just wasn't satisfying me, and I thought, well, I'm going to spend another 25, 30 years, 40 years with somebody and not have that. I had to keep bringing it up in a very easy way, so not to be offensive. And, you know, I'd bring home books to show that, you know, women today, you know, need different things. I tried every approach. But do you find that, you know, women of your age group, you know, in your generation, find it easier to talk about sex, or it's pretty much the same thing when they're with a partner?
You know, I would think that it is definitely easier, especially as gender roles have changed. And, you know, it's not as much as always, you know, a man has to initiate. Women are definitely initiating more. And so I would think, in, you know, today's age, it would be something that is more, you know, not as taboo, and something that is communicated more and is not looked at as if a woman is interested in sex, then that means that there's, you know, she's slutty in any way. It's kind of, this is part of the relationship. But in terms of the specifics, I think what the struggle is that there's, because there's so many gender roles and things changing, and kind of anything goes nowadays. Like, I think women aren't even sure, like, what the norm is and how to react. And so if a guy does something or maybe isn't interested, or he kind of, something happens and then blames it on, you know, a lot of times he'll be like, oh, it's your issue, and blame it on the woman. You know, I think that she might kind of, like, back down, because I think a lot of times as women, we, because it is so challenging of a dating scene, especially in New York, there is a little bit of that desperation. And nothing, it's just that we want, you know, we all, a natural thing. We want to be in a relationship. We want to find someone. So maybe if something happens, we're kind of like, oh, well, maybe it's not such a big deal. And we maybe, you know, let certain things slide a little more because we want it to work. And so these things might come up, but we kind of push it under the rug because we just want to be in a relationship. So I think that's the other challenge. So there's some communicate. There might be some, you know, people are more communicating more, but it's still just so challenging in dating that, you know, if things are kind of coming up, we might ignore them.
Right. And in fact, last night, I don't know if you ever watched Saturday Night Live. Which
I have, but not in a while, and I didn't see it.
I didn't either, but I just started watching it a few weeks ago. It's a really great new cast that I hadn't seen before. But they had a cute little commercial on there, parody, and for a dating service, and it was called Settle, where women, you know, had been dating for a long time, so you can always, I guess, go back and watch it. But it was, comedic thing where, you know, it's called S-E-T-T-L, Settle. And it showed women who've been dating for a long time, and they finally just have to accept the fact that they're never going to find, you know, the man they're looking for. Just settle. And it was really very funny, but there was a lot of truth to that. You know, even though it's supposed to be a comedy, little skit, you know, there are women who settle, and they'll look to separate things and say, okay, well, maybe if I'm not fulfilled in this way, at least I have the companionship, at least he's not looking at other women. You know, so they're... They just don't understand what the whole magnitude of this whole issue is, you know. So one of the things that I really liked in your book, and I would like to bring this point up because, as I mentioned to our listeners, that you, one thing that's great about your book, aside from the story, is the fact that you have all these G quizzes and G lists. And I'd just like to read a couple of things that you have in here that was really eye-opening for me. So one of them was where you were talking about, it says, if you haven't noticed, women today often go on dates and get involved in relationships with men who share all of the same pastimes, interests, and sometimes style. I live in New York City, so this is pretty much the norm. The men who women are interacting with nowadays are often well-dressed, well-groomed, skinny jeans, wearing metrosexuals. They are men who seem to be sensitive, good listeners, and enjoy the same types of activities. A woman might believe she has found the perfect companion when instead she has found another girlfriend. And then you say, let me emphasize that there's nothing wrong with looking for men who enjoy the similar passions and interests. In fact, you should be doing that. But you need to look at the nature of these passions and interests. There's definitely a difference between a guy who enjoys your active lifestyle, likes to go out to the same restaurant and shares your taste in movies, versus a guy who enjoys watching your favorite romantic comedies, doesn't mind shopping with you every weekend, and shares your love for dramatic reality TV shows. I mean, I thought that was really eye-opening. But, you know, so many of the things you say in here, you know, are just easy to think of, but we don't think of them. And that's why I love this book.
Oh, thank you, Bonnie. Yeah, I think that's definitely something to keep in mind because as we go out, you know, into the world, and especially now that things have changed, and you know, there is this idea of metrosexuality, and men are kind of, you know, being a little bit more feminine in some ways, and dressing well, and taking care of themselves, which I've said before is an important thing to do. You know, what I mean by that is, you know, I think as women, we definitely want to be with men who take care of themselves, or I think most of us do, and, you know, dress nicely. But there's that difference between kind of being excessive about it. And I think in terms of, you know, how we spend our time, I think there is that confusion because when we meet someone who's kind of able to talk about everything and anything, who kind of likes to do every single thing that we, you know, enjoy doing, there's that bond, there's that connection. And it is a little confusing because, you know, why wouldn't we want to, you know, like those things? But that's what our girlfriends are for. And yeah, we would definitely want to end up with a guy who we can talk, you know, a long time with and have similar things to talk about and we enjoy similar interests. But I think there's the big thing is that what is that difference? And it's, you have to think about what is the nature of your conversation and what are the things that you're doing, because it shouldn't feel like it's like you're just hanging out with your girlfriend. It needs to go beyond that. It shouldn't feel so comfortable that there's no like sexual desire. There's not. It shouldn't be just like your best bud that you're spending your time with.
One of the things you have, and you know, throughout each chapter, you have a G quiz and a G tip, which I love the G quiz. But here's one issue that I would like you to address, because this was something that when I was, you know, your age, well, a little younger than you, but, you know, in my 20s and early 30s, I'm back in the 70s once again, so it was a different time frame. If a man would have told me that he slept with a guy before and that he wasn't gay, I definitely would buy into that immediately. There was no way in my mind, if he was going to sleep with me, and I had that happen. I went out with, you know, someone that I was high school sweethearts with, and we had tried and stopped. Something was always, like, there, like some kind of wall. But we thought we'd try it again after, you know, my first marriage before my gay husband was over. And there was still something not right. But when I met up with him now, 5 or 6 years later, and he had become a doctor, and, you know, I was living in New York at that time, and when we first got together, I said, what have you been doing for the last 5 years? You know, and he said, so he told me, he said, I had, you know, 4 different relationships. I had 2 with men and 2 with women. And I realized after the 2 with the men that I wasn't gay. And you know what? It didn't even faze me. I thought, okay, he tried it. He didn't like it. He's not gay. But he was gay. Of course, you know, I didn't know that at the time, but years later I found out that he had gotten married to a man, and they had adopted a child together, and he finally came to terms with who he was. So here you say, have you ever dated a guy who told you that he had slept with a man before, but says he's not gay? So how do you feel about that?
Yeah. Before I answer that, the intention of my quizzes are really just to kind of get women who are reading this to really kind of think about it.
Start thinking, right.
Yeah, so it's really just bringing that awareness and kind of like just kind of, even though they've read the chapter, it's kind of to take a step back and say, is this something that's happened to me before? Is, you know, kind of think a little bit more of some of the people I've dated or who are currently you're dating. So in answer to that question, the reason I put that in there is that I definitely think that it's a problem. Not that, you know, if a guy, you know, sleeps with another guy, but then says that he's not gay, because I think what's going on is he's struggling and he doesn't want to fully, come out. And I guess the fact that he even admitted that now, I think it's just said a lot about our society. And I think there is that acceptance now that people are saying, oh, well, you know, you can be with men, you can be with women, and it's fine. And then you can kind of ultimately choose who, you know, whatever you want to be, which is, yes, that is our, you know, we live in a free country and there's a lot of openness. But I think what's happening is that it's easier to be with a woman, and so they kind of try some things and don't want to fully kind of go, you know, come out. And so we'll kind of get their sexual needs met and then say, no, I want to be with a woman and, you know, be in that relationship. And it's funny because there is that difference between men and women. We hear a lot about women who will experiment, you know, in college and kiss and do, you know, certain things. And, yeah, and that is a lot of times they, you know, are not gay, and it's just kind of like a fun, you know, thing. There are a lot of women also, you know, who are closeted and are struggling, so they do experiment as well. But I think when it comes to men, maybe because women are just so, like, affectionate and hugging and kissing, there isn't that much of that, you know, that next step to kind of be even more, like, intimate. But with men who are so very, you know, yes, men can be, you know, hug and kind of do that, but there really doesn't go that much beyond that. So to actually sleep with another man and then say, I'm not gay, I definitely, I have my suspicions, and it is a huge red flag because it is not a common occurrence. A lot of straight men that I know would say, no way, there's no way I'm even coming near a penis. I'm not even, that's not even something I would want to do. So it's definitely something to question because he's struggling and is most likely going to come out later and be gay.
Right, and I say don't even question it. You know, you're a little more liberal than I am. I say that, you know, the penis is a dividing line. Once you cross over it, and you don't have to call yourself gay, but you're having gay sex, so a woman has the right to know that. And mm-hmm. you can call it whatever you want, because I have guys who say they're asexual, bisexual, confused sexual. I can go down the whole alphabet of sexual, pansexual, transsexual. But to me, if you're anything other than heterosexual, then mm-hmm. women have to be aware of the fact that there's going to be a problem. Because
yeah.
if you're going to have, even if there's not that emotional attachment, do you want your husband go every time he goes out, you have to worry that he's having
yeah.
sex with a man?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't feel that it's just a one-time thing. I know straight men also who would never be that curious that they'd have to find that out.
Mm-hmm.
And so I
yeah.
definitely agree with you. That is me, the biggest red flag, and I ignored it, and I tell women if they tell, you know, because I just didn't understand it then. But then also
right.
you
well,
talked about this point that I also bring up on my, you know, writing in my checklist. Does the guy you're dating talk about gay men often or find the homosexual lifestyle fascinating? And I think that's a really important point too, because my ex-husband, what I tell women is he always talked gay. Not that he was talking like a gay person, but there was too much gay conversation going on. Too many
mm-hmm.
times the word gay came up. Or guys, when he would say guys would look at him at a gym. Or if a gay guy
mm-hmm.
looks at you and says you're good looking, then that must mean you're really, you know, hot. You know,
mm-hmm.
you know, straight men don't talk that way, right?
Yeah, no, it's not a usual, that would always be a red flag for me if I was just, because for me, I wouldn't bring up the idea of, even when I was, you know, in the process of writing my book, I really wasn't bringing it up to the men that I was dating, and I wasn't, you know, bringing up the idea of homosexuality, but without fail, there were so many times that it would come up into the conversation. You know, would say something and be like, you know, I think I had one guy say, yeah, my mom thinks I'm gay, or
uh-huh.
there was, you know, some weird thing where, you know, I saw this guy and he, you know, he checked me out, or, he's gay. I mean, he's gay, but, you know, I'm not gay, or kind of being defensive, you know, in certain ways, or, you know, would talk about someone that, you know, a guy that was attractive, but then be like, you know, if I was gay. So there would be these kind of terms that would constantly come into the conversation, and I'd be like, why is this an issue? Is this something he's kind of, you know, being defensive about or being insecure? You know, there was even a guy, I'll tell this one quick story, that I went out with, and he brought up some magazine that he had read where an article where, you know, he's like, you know, he's like, did you know that in the gay community, you know, there are tops and bottoms, you know, some men are tops and some men are bottoms, you know what that means. And
uh-huh.
and we were somewhere and he's like, I wonder who's the top and who's the bottom. And the fact that he was bringing this article up to me, and he was so like fascinated by it. And I'm like, I'm trying to date with like a woman who's straight. It's just not a typical, you know,
male conversation that you're having with
yeah.
other men, right?
So you're kind of like, okay, yeah, I guess that is interesting, but I don't know why you're like bringing this up. Are you fascinated? Or do you want to be a top and a bottom?
That would have been the last date for me on that guy, right?
Yeah.
But I love your G tip in that chapter because you say sometimes we may be so smitten with the guy we are dating that even though he may say something that shocks the hell out of us like that, we pretend it never happened or try to rationalize it. Unfortunately, this will only hurt us in the long run. With that in mind, if you're ever dating someone and he tells you something that makes you question his sexuality, such as his past homosexual experience, an obsession with another man, or even just an interest in wearing a woman's underwear, try to see the humor in it and then run for the hills. And I think that's such great advice.
Yeah.
Because we're always thinking we can change them, and we can't change them. You know, that's who they are.
Yeah, I think it's just that it's so hard for us to believe, and especially when these guys aren't saying to us, like, they're on dates with us, they're getting into relationships with us, and so even when something good happens, why would we think it's because he's gay? You know, like, it's just not it's not where our mind goes, you know, even if we think something's weird, and so we're kind of like, well, you know, because as women, we're very understanding, or a lot of us are, and we try to kind of look at every angle and, you know, well, maybe it's because of this, or maybe it's because of that, or maybe there was this from his past relationship. And so a lot of times we try to rationalize it because we can't fully comprehend that this guy would be gay and dating us. Like, it just doesn't make sense.
And it's so true. I mean, you know, it's just not within our... It was within our thinking powers, I guess, to understand this. You even bring up, I mean, you go so far, it's something I would have never thought about, but you're right, about the drinks they order.
Uh-huh.
And like you say, if they're drinking these sweet and syrupy and fruity drinks, you know, those are not men's drinks.
Yeah,
it's one thing if you want a pina colada or you want a strawberry daiquiri, but they shouldn't be drinking that, right?
You know, it sounds very stereotypical, and I've gotten some feedback from people saying, oh, well, just because a guy likes a drink like that doesn't mean that he's gay. And, yeah, totally agree. And like, you know, I really emphasize in my book, Looking for Mr. Straight, that you can't take one thing in tandem. Like, I mean, you know, as a single thing, it has to be looked at in tandem, and that, you know, if he does one thing, take note of it. If he does another thing, take note of it, and kind of all together.
Mm-hmm.
If a guy has a drink and he's like, in so many other ways, he's the most masculine guy, and you just never question, you know, he's heterosexual, yes, he's probably straight. But when coupled with a lot of other things, that's when you have to question. For the norm, though, it isn't a typical thing, though, for a guy to be ordering cosmopolitans and, you know, martinis, and, you know, it's just not a usual thing. It's just, they're pretty, you know, they'll have their beer and their, you know, kind of hard liquor, or, you know, maybe like some of the wine, but it's just not a usual thing that men gravitate towards, you know. But I put that caveat of, you know, although when you're on some tropical islands, that's where they can, you know, do it. You're going to have, you know, a pina colada, you know, if you're on kind of the beach, something like that. So, you know, yeah, I bring that up because it's just something to kind of step back and think about some of the other things they're doing. If, yes, there's this one drink, and in all the other ways they're straight, then fine. But it's just all coupled together, but, yeah.
Let me ask you your opinion on this.
Mm-hmm.
What if you have, you're dating a guy and he hangs out with gay friends? What do you say to that? If he just says, I'm open-minded, I don't mind going with my friends to a gay bar, you know, I care about my friends, I'm not going to discriminate against them because they're gay. Have you ever run into that?
You know, I haven't. Some of my past boyfriends have had, like, you know, a guy or two that has been gay. But not where, like, all of his friends are gay. I think that might be a little strange. It's just, I would just think, like, in terms of common interests, I'm not saying you can't have gay friends, but if, like, all of them are gay and you're the only straight guy, you kind of, I would just think that, you know, it would be something to question, because is he hanging around with them because that's truly, you know, it makes him feel comfortable, and that's truly where he wants to be, and it's kind of an in for him to kind of be able to go out to some of these places. If it's more of just like, hey, my, you know, good friend who's gay, you know, wants to go to this bar and I want to support him, that's a different story, as opposed to like, I'm hanging out with all of my gay friends all the time and going to these gay clubs.
Mm-hmm.
That would be
I just feel that gay, that straight men don't, I mean, if they have a gay friend, it may be because they grew up with someone who turned out to be gay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I just feel that the straight men that I know through the years just do not feel comfortable being in that situation. And mm-hmm. no matter how much they like a coworker who could be gay, they're not going to go with him to a gay bar.
Mm-hmm.
They'll have the gay person go with him to a straight bar. You know, if it's just a matter of getting a drink.
Mm-hmm.
But I just feel
yeah,
they're really uncomfortable.
It's not a common practice. I think that a lot of men shy away from it. I think it does, even though they're comfortable with their sexuality, a lot of men are uncomfortable with this idea. And so, yeah, it's definitely not the norm to be, like, you know, accompanying their friends to a gay bar, no matter how supportive they are. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, I would take a look at it, you know, and see what else is going on. Are there other things that he's doing, you know, to make you think that he may be gay? Yep.
Well, one of the things that you talk about that I really appreciate are the Gabby guys. And you
mm-hmm.
talk about, once again, these were things that I should have had my own red flags up. You know, when someone, the way they talk, the way they gossip, the way they get involved in everybody's business, the way
mm-hmm.
that they have to, you know, have know everything going on and getting involved in everybody's life. I mean, when I see
mm-hmm.
it now, I know. But, you know, before, I just didn't put the two and two together there, but you did.
Yeah, so I think if you're dating a guy or you're with a guy and it's, like, nonstop where you're like, oh, my God, I can't even, like, I want to, you're on the phone with them and they, first of all, they like talking on the phone nonstop and you, like, basically want to take the phone away from your ear because it's just on and on and on. I think that is something to question and especially I think the nature of what it is. If you're talking with a guy and you're interacting with him and you're just kind of sharing, you're getting to know them and you're, you know, you're dating obviously in the beginning, there's a lot to kind of find out about one another. That's different than like, than, you know, being like, oh, did you hear about this? Or like kind of constantly gossiping about, you know, coworkers or talking about other people, or it's that nonstop kind of, I know I've always definitely seen a difference when, like, let's say, like, something happened to me at work or something bothered me. I would go either share it with a girlfriend or if it was my boyfriend at the time, I would kind of go and talk about it and analyze and, you know, what have you. But men, they just don't, straight men don't do that. They, a lot of times they don't even want to talk about something if it bothers them, and if they do, they're not going to go on and then be like endless diatribe. So it's, you know, it's the nature of what it is and how it's excessive is a red flag, you know, for the gossiping men.
No, I think that was such an excellent tip because I never really kind of framed it that way before. So, like,
mm-hmm.
with your G quiz in that chapter, you say, does the guy you are dating like to share gossip or crazy stories about people from work or about
mm-hmm.
friends he knows? And you're not talking about a story here and there. You're talking about continually, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because, like you say,
yep.
most guys don't socialize in that way. Do you sometimes have a difficult time getting to share your opinions or stories because the conversation always seems to go back to him? Yeah, that does seem like really the way it is for most of the women who are in our network who are married
mm-hmm.
to these kind of men. Do you feel more comfortable dating men that can talk incessantly with you for hours and it feels like you are hanging out with one of your girlfriends? Has the guy you are dating ever blamed the ability to talk the way he does on his close relationship with his mother or the fact that he has sisters? What does that mean?
Well, sometimes let's say you, because of the fact that men don't talk all the time, and let's say you
mm-hmm.
practice, like, oh, wow, you're, you know, I think I once had someone, you know, like, I'm like, you talk a lot, or, you know, it's not a usual, you know, thing that for a guy to do, and he'll be like, oh, well, you know, I grew up with a lot of sisters and you know, my mom, and I feel like I have that, you know, way about me, so I can, you know, talk with women like that. So it kind of uses it as like a defense or an excuse.
Then you have this one good point, which you hit with the terminology. That's another one to make you just move on. Does he say he can talk for hours because he's a more sensitive person and in touch with his feminine side?
Mm-hmm.
That should be enough to tell you leave, right?
Yes. Yeah.
When the man's in touch with his feminine side.
Yeah, but I think a lot of women don't really look at that as a red flag because they're like, oh, wow, he, you know, he listens to me, he talks with me, he's not just this, you know, masculine guy.
Not just after my body, right, yeah.
Right, he, you know, he really cares.
He's respectful.
Right, he'd rather talk with me for hours than have sex with me. That,
exactly.
That's fair. Because if you're talking into the night and there's not, you know, I'm not saying, yeah, like you want to have obviously that emotional connection, that intellectual connection besides the physical.
Mm-hmm.
But if he's choosing to have that emotional connection, talk and talk and talk for hours, rather than be physical in any way, then he's, you know, he's saying, oh, I'm that way. I'm in, I want to listen to you. I want to talk to you. And so, and as women, we eat it up, which makes sense because we, as women, of course we want that. We want that sensitive guy. And yes, I think we can find a sensitive guy that's going to listen and talk with us, but that doesn't mean he also would, he would think also wants to have sex with you too.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right there. You have an in-depth G quiz, and I think this is really important for women also. These are like the very, very stark questions like, is it difficult for him to have an orgasm via sexual intercourse or through some other form of sexual pleasure? And you said, in fact, your three shocking statements I said before, there was more to the story with the tops and bottom guy. Well, here's the perfect time to share it because everything went away when we entered the bedroom. So here's what happened. He was not able to have an orgasm unless it was through sexual intercourse, which I was not ready to engage in at this early stage of our relationship. He was able to become erect, and he said it felt good when I touched him or gave him oral pleasure, but he couldn't come from it. He even said physical intercourse is more intimate act for me than oral sex, and that's why I'm unable to have an orgasm in any other way. So you said one way of looking at it is there's truly an emotional and caring guy, but let's be for real. You know, let's be for real, right?
Yeah, so this particular, I actually spent a lot of time on this in-depth G quiz because it's in one of my most important chapters, Factor 7, in the bedroom. And that being said, it's because I think there's no way that, you know, men who are struggling with their sexuality can truly hide their desires when it comes to, you know, being in the bedroom. You know, they might engage in sex, they might, you know, say they're into it, but there's definitely things that come out when you engage with them. So for this particular, what ended up happening with this particular guy, you know, it just was one thing after another. You know, we were trying to be intimate. For me, I wasn't ready to have sex. He was unable, kept saying, like, I can't have an orgasm any other way, which I thought was very strange and out of character for a guy to not be able to have an orgasm from oral sex or, you know, any, you know, none the other way. And it kept going, getting worse as the night went on and, you know, using lubrication. And he then was, the biggest clincher of the evening was when he seemed to be more, and I don't know if he was just that he wanted, I don't know if he was attempting to have some kind of anal sex. He wanted to basically be involved with my butt a little more. And he was kind of, you know, on top of me and rubbing me in that way. And I started having this freak out in my head from before where he was that same guy where we were at this bar and he was talking about tops and bottoms. And in my head, it was like repeating, you know, tops or bottoms, bottoms or tops. And so I suddenly kind of burst out, are you a top? And I think he was so taken aback by the whole thing that he was just like flabbergasted. And, you know, I think deep down I knew there was something not right with this whole situation. I mean, it should not be this like endless journey
battle,
to get to an orgasm.
Battle.
Yeah. Yep.
Right.
Yep. Yep.
And I agree. I think that you know, men who are gay definitely do have sexual problems when it comes to women, namely because they are gay. And even if they're fighting it, you know, so often we end up being the ones who feel inadequate. I don't know if you've run across this in your experiences, but, you know, so many of the women that I've worked with through the years have tried in every possible way to accommodate their husbands, including doing things that they don't want to do. And I tell women, look, you know, if that's the only way that your husband can get excited is by you, you know, using a strap-on on him, to me this is a problem if you don't like it. You know, I always tell women, you should never do anything that's not comfortable to you. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I do agree. I think there's definitely nothing wrong with having sexual fantasies and kind of like, you know, if there's like being open to different things, role plays and things like that. But obviously both people in a relationship need to be comfortable with that and expressing what one wants and the other one wants. But if one person wants something and the other person is uncomfortable with it, and that's the only way that that person can, you know, get their sexual needs met, that definitely is a problem that goes even beyond, you know, homosexuality. That's just about communication and being in a healthy communicative relationship where both parties are comfortable sexually. So, I think definitely, and especially when you're bringing in the idea of like a strap-on, like, you know, do they really want it? Do they want to be have a penis? Do they want you to have a penis instead? And there's just so many questions regarding that. So, I mean,
and
yeah,
the problem is that
with,
a lot of women don't know. You know, they're just not in tune sexually. They're not aware sexually, especially women who grow up, you know, more in a religious environment or a stricter kind of environment. You know, are a different kind of thinking than I had, of course. But, you know, the women who don't have that kind of education, so a lot of times they'll even do things like their husbands will say, well, if you have sex with somebody else, that will turn me on and it will make our marriage stronger. And I'm not just talking about a gay husband. I'm just talking to women in general. And you don't want to do it, but you feel, okay, well, I have to do it because, you know, I'm not turning them on myself. And I say besides, you know, gay men, there's so many, you know, other kinds of predators looking for women out there, you know, who don't have your best intention at heart. And, you know, they're looking for women who are willing to give in to anything just because they know that they want to be wanted. So they're able to manipulate you sexually into doing things that you may not want to do. And that's where I think that women are at a disadvantage of not having that kind of knowledge that they need to get. And this book really is so good. I mean, I know it's about looking for Mr. Straight, but there's really great advice in here, even not about just gay stuff, just about stuff in general, and how you should be approaching life, I think.
Yeah, no, about, I mean, I think, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to ask you that you have a chapter, you know, you have, you know, a part in here that you interviewed some gay men. Can you talk about that?
Yes, I did have the privilege of interviewing, you know, four gay men who are now, you know, gay and out, but at one point they were struggling with their sexuality, and you know, I thought it was important not only to have some of the factors in here to give those insights of what to look out for and help, you know, guide women while they're dating and in relationships, but also kind of bring the other side in, the other side of the table, and kind of share specifically what some of these men went through, and even just while they were dating women, and kind of some of the things that, you know, happened with them, because I think it kind of brings everything to light. And how they were struggling and unfortunately kind of, you know, brought some of these women that they were dating or in relationships along the way with them until they kind of came to terms with it. So there was actually four gay men who dated women. There was one who actually didn't date women at all, which I found very interesting to kind of just hear his story and why he chose or didn't feel the need to date women. And then I have like a, you know, it's a range of different, you know, men. One was married to a a woman. They were both very religious. They were in the Bible Belt, and it was just such a upsetting story because, you know, for him, he felt he was struggling, got married, felt obviously such a, you know, a connection and a love for this woman, not in a way like a, you know, not in a
romantic way,
soulmate romantic way, but yeah, like obviously
right.
just like a best friend,
mm-hmm.
but felt that he couldn't come out because of his religious background. And he finally did, but along the way, there were so many, you know, obstacles, and he, you know, would need to go to a Make You Straight camp, and even just the church community kind of had spoken to him about it, and there were so many people in the church who were basically living closeted lives, were married, and they said, hey, you can do some things on the side to kind
mm-hmm.
of get your needs met, but this can't come out. So that was like one story, and there were a few other stories of just, you know, dating women, and but they were finally, you know, thankfully able to come out and are now out living, you know, some of them are, have partners and are so much happier. But I think the main thing that I want to, you know, point out is it definitely is a struggle to, I think with anything, is to be who you truly are. I think we all struggle with that, and to kind of not care what people think. And there's so many reasons that men don't come out, whether it's religious reasons, their own kind of self-acceptance, family. But unfortunately, along the way, this other, why I wanted to bring in my book, Looking for Mr. Straight, the other side of the story, was that they're also unfortunately impacting women, marrying women and having kids with them. And
a lot of collateral damage there.
Yes.
And I do understand it. And, you know, I do tell men that, you know, I can understand it. I do a lot of counseling with gay men, you know, as far as their coming out issues. I know I'm not always very popular with their wives because sometimes their wives just don't want to know the truth, or they're
mm-hmm.
looking to bargain so they can stay with that marriage anyway, which, you know, is not realistic. But the point is that when you get to the point, I always tell the men, you know, it's one thing to make a mistake, but you don't keep making it over and over and over again. You know, if you
mm-hmm.
make a mistake, you owe it to your wife to tell her the truth. You owe it to your wife to
right.
be financially and emotionally supportive to her and any children that you may have. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, their needs have to, you know, be counted as well. But I think a lot of times these guys just kind of overlook that. I mean, I know they mean
mm-hmm.
well and they say they'll be supportive, but, you know, they want to go live their authentic life, and I understand that too. But
mm-hmm.
a lot of times they're really cruel in the way they do it, especially if they've been in marriages for longer periods of time. They start turning
mm-hmm.
on their wives as if their wife were their prison keepers, you know, and the wives were the enemy because they
mm-hmm.
feel so, you know, confined there, even though they're the ones that wanted it. So there's a lot of sad stories that come out of these marriages, and that's why, you know, a book like this is so important, so that women who may have any doubts have to realize if you see any red flag, you have to stop, and you have to take a bigger look at the picture. And, you know, even there are women who are willing to accept things. As we were talking about before, you mentioned something about, you know, if you see they want to wear girls' clothes or whatever the case is. There are men who are straight, who are cross-dressers, and
mm-hmm.
they're not gay. They just like to cross-dress. And that's fine if you're willing to accept that and know that ahead of time. You know,
mm-hmm.
I just wouldn't be comfortable with it. And that's why, you know, I don't judge that, but I just know for myself that I couldn't live with it. You know, I don't want to share, you know, clothes with my boyfriend and watch him getting dressed up like a woman. It just, and yet there are women who are very accepting of it because I guess they have everything else. You know, they have a good sex life. You know, they're not worried that they're going to be cheated on. But I guess it's all what you can live with. But if a man is definitely gay, then, you know, if he has male sexual experiences, he could say, well, it's only a physical thing. But it's not, because it really impacts us in a very strong emotional way. Wouldn't you say that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the physical, I mean, in a relationship, I think that there's three important parts that you're looking for. The, you know, the physical, the emotional, and the intellectual. So to say that physical, you know, oh, it's just a physical thing with men, I mean, I would think it would just be kind of heartbreaking to me. Like, I wouldn't want, you know, a man kind of who I'm with kind of being with another man, and I want my, you know, them to be desiring me, and it, you know, just to say, oh, it's just physical. I mean, physical is a very important part of,
mm-hmm.
of being in a relationship, and I think that, you know, I think a lot of these men get involved in marriages, and then it kind of just like it becomes almost it takes over them, and there's a lot of anger that they feel, and then
mm-hmm.
they marry kids, they don't know how to get out of it. There is a lot of that resentment. There's so much unhappiness that kind of just comes
mm-hmm.
out. And I think there's a lot of, I think the biggest thing is just the fact that there's so much that's unknown. This woman kind of maybe senses this. And like, you know, you had said there's, you know, straight men out there who let's say might cross-dress or that's kind of out there. I think the biggest problem with this idea of closeted homosexuality is that there's this fear of, it's just that there's something that's so hidden. And so if it's out there, then that's fine. But I think there's so much anxiety about, like, what else is going on? Is there other things? And the woman kind of maybe senses that, but they don't really know the whole, like, picture.
It's like having, I always say, like,
yeah.
a puzzle where you have, you know, a 500-piece yeah. puzzle and two pieces are missing, and it's never going to be right. And no matter how hard you work
mm-hmm.
at it, there's something missing, and you don't know what the problem is, why you can't get it, you know, together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're not
yeah.
given, you know, all the puzzle pieces, how will you ever know?
Right. Yeah, and I think that's what's, I think, scary, you know, for women is kind of just you're going out there and it's hard enough to, you know, find Mr. Right, but now there's like, wait, is this other thing going on? Is he lying to me? He says that he's straight. But I'm
mm-hmm.
sensing something else. And I think the most important thing that I talk about is go with your gut. We all kind
mm-hmm.
of know that it's there, and we know that, and that's with everything. We have these instincts, and we have this, you know, something that tells us. But a lot of times we ignore that. I think we do know. We just don't always want to know. And I think just kind of being true to ourselves and listening to what, you know, that deeper voice is saying, I think you really can't go wrong. You know, whether it's about it's not right because he's closeted or it's not right because he's, you know, not the right guy for me down the line, you don't have the same values, we have to, you know, whatever it might be,
mm-hmm.
it's really important to go with your gut and not settle, because the right man is out there. And, you know, and I think that's why, you know, I wrote my book Looking for Mr. Straight, is that I don't want women to get to the point of where they're married for many, many years and have children, and then everything kind of falls apart. If I can help women, you know, during this process and kind of know what to look for and identify, they can, you know, start kind of focusing their energy toward Mr. Straight and Mr. Right.
Well, I can't thank you enough, Tara, for returning to the show. I just feel your insight is so excellent, and there's always so much more in your book to go through. So if it's not too much to ask you, maybe, you know, at the beginning of the year, you'll come back and we can discuss this some more. And I'd like
yeah,
to have
I'd
you on
that.
If possible as a more regular guest, because you really tell it as it is. You have beautiful insights. There's so much here we never even got to get to. And I learned so much from, you know, you and from your thoughts and from your book. So if that's okay with you, I'll look forward to having
yeah.
you back here.
I would
very
love that,
soon.
Bonnie. I think we have, you know, I think, you know, you have such great insights and have helped so many women. And it's, you know, a privilege for me to be able to kind of share some of my insights as well from looking
yeah,
for Mr. Straight on your show. So I'd love to come back.
I really appreciate it. And I'm really looking forward to actually giving you a big hug in person very soon, too.
Yes, we'll be meeting in person soon, so.
I know. I'm really excited about that. So to all of our listeners, you'll hear Tara back here in another, you know, month or two. And her book again, Looking for Mr. Straight. You can find it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and is that correct, Tara, wherever good books are sold?
Yeah, it's called Looking for Mr. Straight, a guide to identifying the closeted gay men you may be dating. And it's available both in print and ebook on Amazon.com and Barnes & Noble. You can also find some more information about me and the book at lookingformrstraight.com. And you can follow me on Facebook and Twitter.
That's great. And I'll put our link in my upcoming newsletter for this show for women who didn't have a chance to listen. And so I want to thank you. Happy Hanukkah to you also.
Oh, thank you. Same to you.
Yep, and to all of our listeners, happy Hanukkah for those of you like me who observe it. Thanks a lot, and I'll talk to you soon. Take care.
Thank you. Good night.
Bye-bye. Good night.